say to you in 2024, in these dark days, in these troubling times in which we live, we ought to have one purpose, one goal, one focus, one desire, and that is to get to Jesus. Amen. To get into the presence of Christ that we may experience his power and his provision. What we need is not going to be found in the things of this world, but it will be found at the feet of Jesus. Listen, what you need personally, what your family needs, what our society needs, what our world needs is only going to be found in Christ. But I want you to notice that there were many obstacles, Brother Benji, there were many hindrances to keep these men from getting to Christ. And how many know whether you've been saved for 1 week or you've been saved for 50 years, you're going to find out there's some obstacles. There's some hindrances. Listen, the devil will do his level best. The flesh will do all that it can to keep you from coming to Christ, to keep you from coming into his presence, from you getting to where he is. I've got one desire tonight, and I just want to be where he is. Amen. I just want to be in his presence. And so tonight, if the Lord will help me, don't get mad at me. You just hang in there. Listen, hang right in there and let God speak to your heart, because he sure spoke to mine in this message. Amen. I want to preach on this thought, brother. Get it out of the way. Get it. Just boot it out of the way. Get it out of the way. Hey, if there's anything, saint of God, keeping you from getting to where Christ is, that's keeping you from his presence, get it out of the way. All those hindrances, those obstacles, move them out of the way. Lost friend, look up in here. If you're here tonight, lost and undone, on your way to hell, quit making excuses and quit putting it off. Listen, that thing that you let stand between you and the Lord and keep you from getting saved, just get it out of the way tonight and say, I'm going to get to Christ tonight. I'm going to get to where he is. And tonight's the night I want to be saved. Amen. And can I just say this while I'm at it? I'll get into my message, I promise. Listen, the night I got saved, I was a 16-year-old boy. I couldn't quote John 3:16, recite the Lord's Prayer, or tell you the 23rd Psalm. I knew two things that night: that I was a great sinner and Christ was a great Savior, and that's all I needed to know. And for the last 34 years, I've still been trying to figure it out with the help of the Lord. I like the old song said, I'm a little scholar. I daily go to school to learn a master Jesus in his perfect holy rule. All the scholars do love him. He is so kind and free. Also come, ye careless sinners, and go to school with me. Amen. Praise God. I just want to get where he is. Amen. Woo! Listen, let me get into the message. Amen. This is the last night, but I still don't want to keep you too long. Amen. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Write this down. Listen, these men didn't let anything keep them from getting to Christ. Listen, they did not let their commitments. Write it down, friend. They didn't let their commitments. They did not let their commitments keep them from coming to Christ. Oh, listen, can I just say this to you? You know good and well, Brother Mark, these men probably had families. These men no doubt had homes. These men no doubt had occupations. These men no doubt had hobbies and interests and to-do lists and places to go and people to see and things to get done. But oh, listen, can I just say, they did not let their commitments keep them from coming to Christ. They did not let their priorities, they did not let life get in the way of them coming to Christ. Oh, they may have had priorities, but their main priority was to get to Christ. They may have had other commitments, but their chief commitment was coming to Christ. I'm not suggesting that you just get lackadaisical at your job, and I'm not suggesting that you forsake your your family altogether. I'm not suggesting that you just let everything else fall apart and get irresponsible, but I am telling you, friend, that the most important thing that you and I could do is to come to Christ, to get to Christ, to be with Christ, and to serve Christ. And don't you let anything keep you from Christ, saying to God, amen. Oh, I know how it is in the church world. It seems like everything trumps Christ. Everything's more important than Christ. Amen. There's people that work, and they'll work every hour they can get. They'll make all that they can and can all they get and just save up. And there's people that's all they live for is to work and make money. And there's some people all they live for is pleasure and entertainment. And some people all they live for is just to do what everybody else wants them to do and live their life. But oh, can I tell you, friend, I know we have commitments, but I'm going to tell you, they did not let their commitments keep them from Christ. In fact, in Matthew 6, let me read this to you very quickly. Jesus is talking to some people about commitments of life. And first he addresses to them about what they eat and what they drink and how concerned and how worried they were about all these things. But you know what he told them? He said, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And then they were also concerned about what they would wear, about their apparel. And he said, take no thought for these things neither. He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. He said, they toil not, neither do they spin. But I say unto you that Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. He said, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, oh, ye of little faith? Now listen to me. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Listen to what he said. Take no thought. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Whitherwithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Listen to me. Their commitment was messed up. Listen, they had a lot of commitments, but their commitment was not Christ. Their consideration was not Christ. Their priority was not Christ. He said, the Gentiles of the world, they seek after all these things. But listen, he said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. He said, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, all these things shall be added unto you. Look up in here, it's preaching time. Brother, I'm going to tell you, when your chief commitment, when your main priority is to get where Christ is and to serve Christ and to be with him, I guarantee you, friend, he will take care of you. We wonder why sometimes our country's in the shape it's in, and why is our families in the shape they're in, and why our marriages are in the shape they're in, and why our kids are in the shape they're in, and why our churches are in the shape they're in. Oh, it's because, listen, we've made everything else a priority, and we put the Lord on the bottom shelf. He's taken second place. If I got time, I'll read my Bible. If I got time, I'll go to church. If I got time, if I got anything left over, I'll give it for the Lord. If I can work it out. Oh, but can I tell you, these men had one commitment, and that was to get to Christ, and everything else took second place. They said, we're going to seek him first. We need to get where Jesus is. I need the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Woo. Hey, hold on a second. Amen. Amen. Preacher, preach on. Amen. I believe I will. Woo! They did not let their commitments keep them from Christ. Listen, I don't know how you live. I'm not preaching this pointing Brother Bear somebody out. I'm just telling you this what God led in my heart. And you may have a lot of commitments and you may have a lot of priorities, but make Christ your chief one. Amen. Make him number one on your list. You take time for him. You seek him first, and I guarantee you he'll bless your life. And he'll bless your marriage, and he'll bless your home, and he'll bless your family, and he'll bless you a long life's way. Oh, and he'll do for you what you can't do for yourself. And brother, listen, I know we got to work, and I know we got to run kids to ball games, and I know we got priorities, but oh, listen, don't put the Lord last, friend. Make him first. They didn't let their commitments keep them from Christ. Can I just say this? Look up in here. I'm hard to miss. Look up here. We got time to do what we want to do. Woo! I smelt flesh burning on that one. Amen. I said we got time to do what we want to do. And can I say this as well while I'm at it? It is the last night, preacher. Hey, listen, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Hey, if he can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. He'll make you feel like you're so busy you ain't got time to read your Bible, to pray, to take your family to church, to have family devotions. Hey, you ain't got time. He'll make you busy. Oh, listen, commitment. They did not let their commitments keep them from Christ. Let me hasten on, number two. Let me say this. They did not let the crowd keep them from Christ. Woo! Notice this, Preacher Tim. When they get down to where Christ is, the Bible said the house is so full they couldn't even get through the door. Hey, the crowd, that it was so thick and so full they couldn't even get through the door. Here's what a lot of good Baptists would have done. Well, we tried. Sorry for your luck, Hoss. Maybe next time. Hey, and they would, hey, but listen, don't you let the crowd keep you from Christ. Someone said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say don't let others keep you from coming to Christ. Amen. Don't let other relationships keep you from coming to Christ. Don't you let the world keep you from Christ. Oh, you know what? There are some people, they let their friends keep them from Christ. There are some people, listen, that will let their children keep them from Christ. There's some people that will get in an unequally yoked relationship and let that keep them from Christ. There are some people living in bitterness and unforgiveness, and there's somebody they hate in their heart, and that individual is keeping you from Christ. There are some people, brother, that have a relationship, and it may not be sexual, or it may be, but that relationship is keeping you from Christ. Can I encourage you, friend, if there is an individual, if there's a group of people, if there's anyone keeping you from Christ, listen, don't you let the crowd keep you from Christ. Amen. Hey, listen. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, enter in Matthew chapter 7. He said, enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Can I just say this, friend? Can I just say this concerning the world, concerning the crowd? Look up in here if you're saved tonight, washed in the blood of Jesus on that straight way. Listen, the crowd is going a whole different direction than what we're going in. Hey, the crowd, the world is on that broad road that leads to destruction. But if you're saved tonight, you're on that little narrow way that leads to life everlasting. Don't you let the world, don't you let relationships, don't you let the crowd keep you from Christ, brother. You just pursue him and seek him and get where he is. Amen. And can I say this about the crowd? When these four men got down to where Jesus was, oh yeah, there was a big crowd. But can I say this about them? They were spectators, not participators. Amen. Woo! Amen. Hey, there's There's a lot of spectators in the church today. People standing on the sideline watching. They ain't a whole lot of participators. But oh, can I tell you, these men were spectators from a distance. But I'd rather be a participator with the light. I want to roll up my sleeves. I want to get into the game. I want to get where Jesus is. I want to be in his presence. I don't want to just watch. I want to wallow right in the middle of it, friend. I'm telling you, get where he is. Hey, spend time with him. Don't you let the crowd keep you from coming to Christ. Amen. Oh, yeah. It ain't popular preaching, but it's good preaching. We let others keep us from Christ. Young folk let them get hindered because they're so worried about what everybody else thinks. Well, we all want to fit in, and I don't want anybody to think I'm strange. And so they let that keep them oftentimes. And like I said, moms and dads, man, listen, they're so busy running their kids everywhere too, but to church. Listen, running them halfway across the country to take them to a ball game. Listen, they let that keep them from Christ. Like I said, I used to pastor. I know how it is. I had people that was mad at somebody and couldn't even remember why they was mad. They just knew they was mad. And listen, they're so out of whack with God, they couldn't get where Christ was. Amen. Because that individual that they had bitterness and resentment toward kept them from Christ, friend. Hey, there's nobody worth missing out on the blessings of God. There's nobody worth missing out being in his presence. Amen. Friend, don't you let the crowd keep you from Christ. Amen. And like I told you a moment ago, the crowd is headed a whole different direction than what we are, church. And I just don't want to run with them. I don't want to run with them. I said, I don't want to run with them. They're going down that broad way. I'm on the narrow way. And if you're saved, that's where you are. And I know how it is. Some people, they're so worried about just, you know, at work and among their groups of friends. They just want to fit in. They just want to be liked. I've often said this, if you want everybody like you, go sell ice cream. Because I got news for you, everybody ain't going to like you if you live for Jesus. I know it's hard to believe, not everybody likes me. I know it's hard to believe. Hey, but I know how it is. You see them in aisle 3 at Walmart, and they shoot over to aisle 4 like they don't see you. You know what I like to do? I like to jump over to the next aisle. Hey, I see you. Hey, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, they can run, but they can't hide. Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you, they did not let their commitments keep them from Christ. Yes, they had homes. Yes, they had families. Yes, they had occupations. Yes, they had other things to do. But that day, the greatest commitment was to get to Christ. And yes, they didn't let the crowd keep them from Christ. It would have been so easy to look at that packed house and look in and see. There's no way. They're too crowded. These people are standing between us and Christ. There is no way to get in there. We'll have to wait another day. We'll have to come another time. Your miracle won't be today. That prayer won't get answered today. That blessing won't come today. And let the crowd keep you from Christ. But look up in here, friend. These men were determined, and they said, we're not letting the crowd keep us from Christ. Amen. I ain't gonna let the world knock me out of it, friend. Hey, look up here. I love my family. But they're not going to keep me from Christ. Amen. Wow. Listen, I used to work a secular job. I worked in the factory. Hey, those men weren't going to keep me from Christ. Amen. No, sir. Hey, don't let the crowd keep you from Christ. Number 3, let me hasten on. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. It's been quiet. Going to get real quiet here in a minute. Amen. Hey, you know what these men did? They didn't let their commitment keep them from Christ. They didn't let the crowd keep them from Christ. And number 3, look up in here. They didn't let the clay keep them from Christ. You know what they did? Listen, I just imagine these men, they were determined. They had one focus, one goal, one desire, and that's get to where Jesus is. Man, I wish people was determined like that. I mean, they said 3 drops of rain keeps a good Baptist out of church. Well, you know, I would go to church, but I stayed up kind of late watching my program and all, you know. Man, these men were determined. They said, we're good in there. Hey, we don't care what it takes. There's a man right in the middle of that crowd. He's the one we need to get to. He's the one we want to get to. He's the only one can help us. He's the only one can help our friend. He's the only one can meet our need. And I'm going to do everything I can to get where he is. Amen. Here's what they done. They looked in the crowd. They couldn't get through the crowd. So here's what they done. They started looking for another way in. One of them looked up. I believe he nudged his friend, pointed up. His friend, man. Hey, and you know what they did? I don't know. I don't know if they even knew Pastor Tim who owned the house. Bible don't tell us. They may not even known whose house it was. They didn't really care. And by the way, I am not promoting destruction of public property. But I'm telling you, these men were determined. They climbed up on that roof. And the Bible in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, calls it tiling. Now, tiling in this day would have been made of clay. You know what that's a picture of? You know what clay is a picture of in the Bible? The flesh. Woo! They did not let the clay. They did not let their commitments. They did not let the crowd. And look up in here. They did not let the clay keep them from Christ. And by the way, could I just tell you, the worst enemy I have is the man I look at in the mirror. You know who fights me harder than anybody else? The clay. You know else who tries to hinder me and obstruct me and keep me from getting where Christ is? This flesh that I battle every day. And don't look at me all super spiritual, because you fight the same battle I do. Amen. Amen. Oh yeah, ain't no super saints here. Ain't none of you changing your clothes in a phone booth. Amen. We all have battles to fight. Oh, yes, we do. And can I just tell you what Paul said about this flesh? You still with me? Say amen. You still want to hear it? Say preach. And there's about five of you still want to hear it. Amen. Hey, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. I'm telling you, friend, the worst enemy I have is this clay, is this flesh. Paul said this to the church of Galatia in Galatians 5 and 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary. And these are contrary. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Look up in here, friend. It's a battle you and I fight every day. And the clay will do its best to keep a barrier between you and Christ. But can I just preach to somebody tonight and tell you, get it out of the way. Get it out of the way. Get it out of the way and get where Jesus is. Amen. Yeah. Hey, you know what this flesh is? It's corrupt. Let me give you a little description of your flesh and my flesh. Self-centered, self-absorbed, lustful, prideful, slothful, procrastinating, distracted, carnal, self-willed, envious, stubborn, unforgiving. Woo! Brother, it ain't good. I'm telling you, the clay will keep you from Christ. But these men said, we got to get to him no matter what. And they begin to take their hands and rip up that towel, rip up that clay, because they knew the only one could help them, the only one could bless them, the only one could do anything for them was the man down yonder. And brother, they begin to tear off the towel. They begin to remove the clay and said, we just want to get where he is. Praise God. He may be my enemy, but I'm glad greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can't, but he can, who died for Jesus. I'm glad for a victory that we have in him. Amen. Now, I don't know what your particular hindrance and obstacles are. People are different. There's some people that are saved. They have to watch their temper. I could tell that's you, brother. Amen. No, I'm just kidding, brother. I mean, there's some people, they're saved, sanctified, love the Lord, but you better not rub them the wrong way. I believe Billy Sunday preached one time. This woman approached the old preacher and said, she said, you've rubbed my fur the wrong way tonight. He said, honey, just turn the cat around. Amen. Praise God. Some people, it's their temper. Some people battle lust. I've heard staggering statistics of what goes on in people's homes, the pornography that goes on, the battle people fight with this flesh. Some people, it's pride. They're arrogant, haughty. I know you don't know nobody like that. Hey, sir, I just seen you get nudged in the side back there by your wife. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, we all fight something in this flesh. But let me encourage you about something. I know you all heard this story. They told a story about this old Indian that told a young boy. He said, I've got two dogs inside of me fighting all the time, a good dog and a bad dog. The boy said, sir, he said, which dog wins? He said, the one I feed the most. You know why it's so important for me to get where Christ is? You know why it's so important for me to be with him? You know why it's so important for me to be in his word and to be in his presence and to be led by his spirit and to be in his house and to be with his bride? You know why it's so important for me to be with Christ? Because I fight a battle every day, and the battle is with this flesh and with this clay. He's the worst enemy I have. And I'm telling you, you've got hindrances and you've got obstacles, and I implore you, friend, get it out of the way. Get it out of the way. Don't you let the clay keep you from Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to be where he is. Amen. Well, let me give you one more and I'm done. They did not let their commitments keep them from Christ. Hey, seek ye first. Say that with me. Seek ye first. One more time. Seek ye first. Make him your chief priority. Your pristine and prime priority, get where Christ is. Be with Christ. Don't let the commitments of life keep you from being with him. Well, you know I got to go here and go there and do this and do that. I got a list a mile long. Yeah, he better be at the top of that list, friend. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Man, I remember when I was still working in the factory several years ago before I took Wabash Free Will Baptist Church full time. I woke up early one morning, and my goal was to get in the office and spend some time in the Word before I went to work. And I remember laying there in bed. Man, the bed felt good. Woo! Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, it was just comfortable. My back wasn't hurting. The pillow was just right. Man, I said, I believe I'll just lay here just a little longer. The Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, could you not spend 1 hour with me? Ooh, you talk about getting whooped. I got up out of the bed and said, I just believe I'll get where Christ is. Amen. Don't you let commitments. Don't you let the crowd. Don't let others. Don't let family and friends. Don't let any relationship. Don't let the world creep in and keep you from Christ. Amen. Don't you? Hey, I used to pastor a young lady. She was doing good, coming to church, serving God. She'd be there Wednesday night. She'd be there for Sunday school, doing good. She met a man, and him lost as a duck in a desert. I counseled with them both. I said, don't do it. Don't you? She said, I want to marry him. I love him. I said, don't do it. It'll destroy you. It'll get you away from God. It'll ruin your life. And sure enough, no, she had it all figured out. And you know what? It brought trouble and heartache to her life. Don't let the crowd keep you from Christ. Don't you lower your standards, friend. Don't you let your convictions go by the wayside just because everybody else is doing it and everybody else thinks it's okay and where you know it's what's popular and all. Hey, don't you let the crowd in the world keep you from Christ, friend. Amen. I don't care what the church down the road is doing. I don't care what they're doing in Hollyweird. I'm more concerned about what the Word of God says. Amen. Get where Jesus is, friend. Don't let the crowd keep you from Christ. Don't let the clay keep you from Christ. And lastly, and I'm done, don't you let criticisms keep you from Christ. How many know when you get where Christ is, ain't everybody going to like that? How many know when you have dedicated your life to being with Him and to serving Him, ain't everybody going to like you? Ain't always going to give you thumbs up on Facebook. Ain't going to come pat you on the back and say, good job. No, sir. As soon as the Lord begin to bless and move, here come one out of the crowd. Whoa, 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 whoa. What's going on here? What's all this forgiving business? Accused Christ of blasphemy. This man blasphemy. Listen, if this man even knew God, he'd know who Christ was, amen. He said, this man blasphemes. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus said, whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise, take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, he said unto him that was sick of the palsy, rise, take up your bed and walk. Woo! Hey, look up here, friend. Hey, they could, when that man began to criticize, you know what? They didn't back up and say, well, you know, we're sorry. We didn't mean to rock your boat or nothing. We didn't mean to offend you or hurt your feelings. We didn't mean to upset you, sir. We're sorry. No, they did not let their criticisms keep them from Christ. Somebody will always have something to say. Somebody will always try to tear you down. Somebody will always try to discourage you and insult you and hurt you and persecute you. But listen to me, friend, don't you let criticisms keep you from Christ. Hey, when they start calling you Bible thumper, wear it like a badge, friend. When they call you a religious fanatic, say, woo, glory to God. Hey, friend, listen. Jesus said in John 15, he said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep your saying also. They may call you names, but I guarantee you, probably ain't a one of us in this place that has shed blood for the name of Christ. I had no rocks thrown at me. They may have wanted to, but they didn't. Oh, but they'll insult us, and they'll criticize us, and they'll talk about us, and they'll forget to send you that invitation to the family reunion. Maybe that's just me. Hey. They may not want nothing to do with you. They may give you snarled looks, and they may call you names. Hey, don't you let that keep you from Christ. Oh, they unfriended me on Facebook. Did you hear what they said about me? Hey, I guarantee you they didn't put you on the cross, friend. Hey, let's be men. Let's be women. Let's be soldiers of the cross. Hey, let's endure hardness as a good soldier for Jesus. And don't you let the criticisms of this world keep you from Christ, friend. How many will give me 5 more minutes? Will you raise your hand? How many will give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Woo, praise God. I want to say one more thing. When these men did not let their commitments, they did not let the crowd, they did not let the clay, and they did not let criticisms keep them from Christ, I want you to know what happened. Look up in here. Look up here. When you get where he is, woo, When you get into his presence, when you get out of the spot where the glory comes out, when you get to that place where you can experience his power and his provision, I'm not talking about you over here and Christ over there, but I'm talking about you removed every obstacle and every hindrance, and you just said, I'm going to get it out of the way, and I ain't let nothing keeping me from getting to where Christ is. And brother, when you get where he is, brother, there's some things fixing to happen. Can I just give you three real quick? And then we'll go to the house. Amen. Number one, when they got where Christ was, whoo, there was forgiveness. When they got where Christ was, there was forgiveness. I guarantee you there's some of you, you'd about give everything you have to see that son saved, to see that daughter saved, to see that grandbaby saved, to see that friend, that coworker, that classmate saved. You might be here lost, and you need to be saved. You might be here away from God. So far from God, the IRS couldn't find you. Friend, you need to get restored back to God. But I guarantee you, when you get where he is, when you get into his presence, Preacher Tim, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. Oh, listen, I'm not talking about being moral and being religious and being a good person and kissing babies and helping old folk across the street. I'm talking about getting saved. I'm talking about getting your sins forgiven. I'm talking about forgiveness. When they got to where Christ was, Jesus looked up and saw their faith. And he said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Woo! I'm talking about forgiveness, friend. Oh, yes, church. We want to see our loved ones saved. Let's get where Christ is. Oh, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, husband, wife, the son, daughter. Let's get where Christ is. Oh, yes, listen. 1 John 1:9 is still in the book. He said, if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm glad 1 Timothy 1:15 still in the book. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Praise God. He still forgives. Amen. You might be here tonight. You need to be saved. He said, well, preacher, I don't understand it all, neither do I, and I've been preaching 34 years, but I know one thing, he'll still forgive you tonight if you'll come to him by faith. I told some of them today a story. Can I tell a quick story? I'll hurry. I heard a story, and I shared it with some today. Years ago, George Truett was from Hayesville, North Carolina, went down to Dallas, Texas to pastor the famed First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. George Truett, this was so long ago, he was one of the first preachers to have a radio program. And his congregation was so concerned about seeing people saved and forgiven, they would buy radios. And they would take them to the slums of Dallas where the prostitutes and the drunkards live in depravity. They wouldn't come to church, so whoop, they took the church to them. They put radios in their house. And they said there was one particular lady in the slums that had lived the life of a harlot, a prostitute. And a lady from First Baptist who was a nurse was there in her home tending to her and taking care of her. And she was so concerned about the lost soul of this woman that she bought a radio and brought it to her home. That particular morning, Dr. Truett was preaching on the radio and took for his text Isaiah 1:18. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, woo, they shall be as wool. Oh, that morning, the big hand of God God reached down into the slums of Dallas and began to trouble the heart of a sinful woman. And the nurse got a hold of Dr. Truett and said, you need to come and pray. She's sick and she's dying and she's concerned about her soul. Dr. Truett made his way to the slums of Dallas, knocked on the door, and walked in. He took off his hat, extended his hand, and said, I'm Dr. George Truett. And that prostitute withdrew her hand and put it under the covers. She said, oh, Dr. Truett, I can't shake your hand. She said, I'm a sinful woman, and you're a holy man. My hands are filthy. Dr. Truett said, all I could think to do was kneel by her bedside, and all I could think to pray was what I preached that morning. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And about that time, he heard the voice of the woman say, shake my hand. Dr. Truett opened his eyes and he said, he looked up and seen her reaching out. He said, I thought your hands were filthy. She said they were, but I just had a blood bath. Hey, can I just tell you, when you get where Jesus is, hey, when you get it out of the way and get where he is, brother, you'll find that there is forgiveness. Amen. He still saves old sinners. Amen. In fact, while the devil's telling you, you've been too bad to sin, or you've been too bad to be saved, just tell him he's a liar, because sinners are who Christ came for. Amen. Right. Amen. And not only did he find forgiveness, you notice they found, when they got where Jesus was, when they got it out of the way, didn't let anything keep them, you know what else they found? They didn't just find forgiveness. Their friend got fixed. Their friend got fixed. Man, after he saved him, you know what he did? He said, man, take up your bed and walk. Yeah. I'd like to have seen their faces, wouldn't you? Listen, it was so crowded he couldn't get in. How do you reckon he walked out? I can't explain it all, but I know he got fixed. And look up in here. There's some people here tonight. You come in with some stuff that needs fixed. Can I just go on record and say, nobody fixed broken like he does.
Amen.
Woo! I said, nobody fixes broken like Jesus. There's some of you saved here tonight, and you come in, listen, with something in your life that needs fixed. You got a prayer that needs an answer. You got a problem you can't solve. There's trouble that's too great for you. You come in and it's broken. Listen, it needs fixed. But I'm telling you, he's in the business of fixing broken things. He's in the business of restoring and repairing and reviving and revitalizing. And though you can't put it back together, he can. He said, take up your bed and walk. Now listen, friend, if this man could have done it himself, he would have done it a long time before. But I'm telling you, that day when Jesus gave the command, he gave him grace to do what he himself could not do. It may be too big for you, mama. It may be impossible for you, daddy. Hey, sir, hey, ma'am, you may not see a way, but I'm telling you, when you get where he is, he'll fix it tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I know some of y'all, you're too religious to have any trouble. You know, the devil likes to tell us when we're saved and that storm comes, that trial comes, that valley comes, death comes, sickness comes. If you were saved, you wouldn't be going through that. If he really loved you like he said he did, he wouldn't let you endure that. Look up in here, friend. Jesus said, in this world, you shall have. He didn't say you might have, you could have. He said, mark her down, you shall have tribulation.
Amen.
But I'm glad he didn't stop there.
Amen.
Woo! There wasn't no period right there. He said, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Woo! He said, I've overcome the world. Oh, thank God when you get where he is. Listen, not only did their friend get forgiven, but he got fixed. And I'm telling you tonight, whatever you come in with, whatever burden you have, whatever problem you have, whatever situation you have, brother, when you get where he is, when you remove the obstacles, when you get it out of the way and say, I'm not letting commitments, I'm not letting the crowd, I'm not letting the clay, I'm not letting the criticisms, I'm not letting nothing stand between me and him. And you get where he is, I'm telling you, when you get in his presence, he can fix it here today. Amen.
Amen.
We spend so much time away from his presence, we get accustomed to it. I said we spend so much time away from his presence, we get used to it. And whenever things starts falling apart, we think, what in the world? Huh? And have you noticed when things happen to people, it does one of two things. It gets them further away from him, or it causes them to move up to him. That thing he allows you to go through, it ain't to punish you, to hurt you, to destroy you, but it's for you to get to where he is so he can do for you what he wants to do.
Amen.
That's good preaching. Even if I am the one doing it, amen. He wants us to get where he is so he can do what he wants to do in our life. He can fix it, friend.
Amen.
I didn't say you could fix it. I didn't say the latest self-help book down at the bookstore can fix it. 10 ways to a better you. I'm talking about he can fix it. And lastly, and I'm done. When they got in his presence, not only was there forgiveness and he fixed him, but listen, the fires of revival. Woo! The fires of revival begin to burn. Do you see what happened? Their friend got forgiven. He gets fixed. And notice what the book says. The Bible said he arose, and the Bible said the people were all amazed. And they begin to glorify God and said, we have never saw it on this fashion. Can I tell you what that means in hillbilly terms? We ain't never saw nothing like that before.
Yeah.
Amen. In Luke's gospel, they said this, we have seen strange things. We have seen strange things. And while he can forgive and he can fix, because Jeremiah 32:17 said there's nothing too hard for him. Brother, I'm telling you, I believe he wants the fires of revival to burn one more time. Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I believe God wants to revive our hearts.
Amen.
In Luke's gospel, they said we've seen strange things. That word strange there is paradoxos in the Greek. And it means seeming contrary to expectation. It means extraordinary. Let me ask you, sir, ma'am, when's the last time you saw extraordinary things in your life?
Yeah.
When's the last time you came to a service and found your usual spot and went through your usual routine and saw things that were contrary to your expectation? Because let's be honest, most of us, when we show up for church, we're not expecting anything out of the ordinary. We're not looking for things contrary to expectation. We come in, we find our usual spot, we go through our usual routine, we sing our two songs, we have altar prayer, couple specials, the preacher preaches, hurry up, the chicken's getting cold, and we go to the house, hey, many times unaltered, unchanged, unaffected. I don't know about you, but I want to see the fires of revival burn.
Amen.
And I believe he can still do it, friend. I believe he can still do strange things. I believe the power of God is still able to come right down into our midst and, brother, do some things that are extraordinary.
Amen.
We've seen it. We've been there. I want to be there a whole lot more. In fact, I've had somebody say to me, we was in a service, man, there was some shouting and carrying on. And you know, some people, that gets them nervous. Ooh, I get nervous. I said, man, I get nervous when they don't do that.
Amen.
The fires of revival. How many would agree? This ain't a trick. I'm not trying to trick you. But how many would agree we need revival?
Amen. Amen.
Your family, my family, your community, my community, our country, our churches, we need old-timey, old-timey, Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, sin-killing, God-glorifying revival, friend. And I'm telling you, when we get these things out of the way, I believe when we get into his presence, when we get where Christ is, I believe we can see these things. I'm going to ask the singers to come. Sister Joanne's going to come to the piano. She's going to play softly. I know it's been a little difficult.